You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Hey, we're tuning in to WGOD. That's the name of this program, WGOD, as a old radio man for 20 years. Man, oh man, I love the fact that God is always broadcasting. He always has a word. We just got to tune those dials into his frequency. The word is going to come here today out of the book of Revelation. That's where we are at here on WGOD, going through verse by verse. We're in these seven churches. We are knee-deep into this third church. Isn't it the third one? It's the church at Thyatira. That's where we're at. We're in chapter 2. Prior to getting started, I just want to invite... Well, first of all, I wanted to say happy 4th of July to everyone. God bless you and your families, whether or not you're tuned in at 6:30 or 7:30 a.m. Maybe you've tuned in at 5:30 in the afternoon. Sit back and relax. We have an excellent 30 minutes in store here, sitting under the word of God. We're going to break into this pastor's office here. See, the Lord has dictated a letter to the Apostle John. John has brought it to the Angelos, which means more than angel. It means the messenger. I believe this is a man. I believe it's the pastor. Verse 20 here, Revelation 2:20, the first thing he says is that you tolerate your wife, Jezebel. Now, that certainly is no angel. It's a spiritual leader of the church who he's writing to. So I invite you guys to church this weekend. It's a happy 4th of July to everyone. God bless. I hope you are having an awesome day here today. Let's sit under the word of God. We'll let the word of God speak here today. I invite you guys to church this weekend. My sermon is in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the whole chapter. You are invited. If you're looking for a new church for whatever reason, your church is not preaching the word, or you find yourself that you've been in a corrupt church, we have lots of people who have come out of a corrupt church. Now, a corrupt church is those that aren't following the word of God, those that embrace sin, those who say it doesn't matter how you live, those that ordain deliberate in-your-face sinners to lead the church, you see? Those is what makes up a corrupt church. Not because of what kind of music you have. We're not talking denominations. We're talking churches that aren't following the word of God anymore. So Sunday morning, 10:30, we're in Hebrews chapter 12. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Again, if you're in a corrupt church, I encourage you to leave and get out of it. Find a church, no matter what it is, charismatic, Lutheran, Baptist, evangelical free, Calvary Chapel, find a church that still believes the word of God is true and is willing to sit under it. And as a pastor that believes and upholds the word of God, like the old saying that started the Reformation church was sola scriptura. That is by scripture alone. That is our authority. That's what we believe here. Now we're in this church here, this church in Thyatira. Let's pick it up here in chapter 2, and let's pick it up here in verse 20. The Lord writing to the spiritual leader of this church. Now, he says, nevertheless, I've got a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, or your wife. My translation says wife. Let me explain it again if you're just joining. The Greek word, the word gynaeka, is the same word for woman or wife. How do you know which one's the difference? Well, and that would be by the personal pronoun, you know, like him, her, he, she. Those are personal pronouns. So when you see the word woman and your or yours, then you know as a translator how to translate that. So here it's the woman of you or your woman. It's wife. If you have a New King James Bible, you'll notice in the footnote there a capital M that says wife, not woman. Most Greek manuscripts read here wife, not woman. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you tolerate your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, regarding the food sacrificed to idols, this was a huge offense in some countries. It's kind of lost on us today, eating food. I certainly would not eat food that's brought over from the satanic temple. I wouldn't do it. I know Paul says, well, this is what the Bible says, Romans chapter 14. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who does eat, for God has received him. Also, Romans 14:14, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. That's Romans 14:14. So this was a big deal. Offending a brother with your food is a big deal. Remember, all you broccoli lovers out there, and my church knows, keep that broccoli away from me. You see, that's an offense to me. Jokingly, was not a joke here, though. Forcing these people to eat food that's been sacrificed to idols was a serious offense. It's kind of lost on us here today. Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Causing a brother or sister to stumble because of your food is not good. And for that matter, telling them it's okay to engage in sexual relations outside of marriage is going to cause the Lord Jesus to make this upcoming threat to the pastor here. You know, here's what I've learned as I studied for this sermon here before. I've preached this before. Violating your conscience is a scheme of the devil. Violating your conscience is a scheme of the devil. That's why he mentions both of these things together here. Also notice that all the good that they've done is now forgotten. It's all thrown out the window. We've gone from commendation to this next threat, given ultimately to the church members there, verse 20. Again, verse 20, he says, I've got this against you. You tolerate your wife Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time so that she might repent, and she does not wish to repent of her fornication. So there's the first response is, who cares? What, me? I don't care. I'm forgiven. What does it matter how I live? The Lord Jesus says she doesn't want to repent. I gave her time to repent. She does not wish to repent. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, it says, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I haven't done anything wrong, or I've done no wickedness. Now, verse 22, here comes the threat. Behold, meaning check this out. Watch what I do to this woman. She doesn't want to repent. This woman here, the pastor's wife, in charge over the congregation here as the co-spiritual leader in the church. Behold, I am casting her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation if they do not repent of her works. Greek word there for sickbed is the word kline. It means stretcher. To put in a modern vernacular, they're going to haul little Miss Prophetess out of here on a stretcher. And for everyone at Thyatira Christian Fellowship, the Lord Jesus himself is personally going to see it, that you will find yourself in great tribulation if you don't repent of her works. They hold the church responsible for allowing a person like this, whoever it is, to continue there. See, you all shouldn't leave the church. You should get rid of this person that's in the church. Clean house. Don't leave and leave the problem there. Clean house. Get rid of the problem. You know, this is a timely word for today. If you find yourself in the corrupt church, where one of the leaders there tells you that sin doesn't matter anymore and that they refuse to repent of the sin that they were committing, or that it doesn't matter how you live, you've already been forgiven, all your sins have been forgiven, it doesn't matter how you live, sin doesn't mean anything, I refuse to repent. What a timely word. Now he's not done. He said, and I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the reins and hearts. Funny, this Greek word translated reins in the King James Version is the Greek word for a kidneys or intestines. I am he who searches your intestines, hopefully before lunch, right? Reminds me of that old figure of speech we use. You know, I had a gut feeling about so-and-so. So Jesus is saying that he knows even your gut feelings about things. Perhaps meaning that those who knew it in their gut that this was wrong and did it anyway, or who knew it in their gut and did nothing about it. I am he that searches your intestines. I know that you had a gut feeling about this because he's the one that gave it to you. And instead of leaving this church, you should have cleaned house. And he's going to hold them accountable, he says, unless if they repent of her works. God forgive us for this woman that's been here, or man, whoever it may be, who's in a position of authority, who refuses to repent, who is too proud to repent and make it right. God says, the Lord Jesus said, well, God says he's going to hold them accountable for her sins. Now remember, I am the Lord, I change not. And we read in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He holds the people accountable for the sinner, for the spiritual leader's sin. They're going to haul the woman out of here on a stretcher. And he says again, I will strike her children dead. Remember, his eyes are like a flame of fire, we read. He searches your gut feelings. I will strike her children dead, and then all the churches will know that I am he who searches your intestines and your hearts. Boy, isn't that the truth? All the churches will know. You know, that's the same as it was back in the book of Acts. When these two people read in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira were their names. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And then Peter said, why have you lied? He says, you have not lied to men. You've lied to God. And then they just dropped down dead. And then Ananias' wife came in. Same thing happened to her. Behold, here come the feet or the guys that just buried your husband. Now they're going to haul you out of here on a stretcher as well. And then she dropped down dead. And then it said, and great fear fell upon the whole church. Just like what the Lord Jesus says here. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts or intestines, reins, and hearts. Now, here this morning is a valuable lesson, or here today is a valuable lesson for us regarding sickness and death and where it comes from. Once again, we see that not all sickness, and certainly not death, comes from the devil or from malignant spirits. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. It says, therefore, whoever, now this is the Apostle Paul warning people, just like the Lord did, the Apostle Paul warning people about being careful with how you partake of the Lord's Supper. You better be careful with communion because there's more to it than meets the eye here. So therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an irreverent or an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick, and many sleep, or many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So, just like Jezebel's followers, who were unrepentant, the Lord Jesus is still on the throne today. He expects your obedience then and now. We've just read firsthand what his opinion is regarding sin and what happens when you and I are flippant regarding grace. And verse 24. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have until I come. That is, hold fast to your integrity, friends. Hold fast what you have. That is, love. That is, continue to love what Jesus loves. Continue to hate what Jesus hates. Remember, he said it twice already so far to two different churches. To the one, he commends them for hating what Jesus hates. To another one, he said they need to turn from this. And that is this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, this doctrine that it doesn't matter anymore how you live. Sin doesn't matter. He's already died for all of your sins. It doesn't matter how you live. He says, I hate this doctrine. He hates this easy believism gospel where sin is unimportant anymore. Verse 26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. They will be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that was the Lord's letter to the pastor of this church in Thyatira. Now remember, if the devil can entice you to violate your conscience and to have you go against your conscience, this is how he can gain entry into you. Because your conscience is a gift from God. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Well, hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. We'd love to see you at church this weekend. God bless. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 12. That sermon will play here on the radio probably Monday and Tuesday, and then we will be back with the next church here coming up in chapter 3. Again, you are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Christ actually paid the penalty, suffered the wrath of God, was a perfect and satisfactory atonement for the sins of those who believe. In the end, of course, as you study the elective and unfolding purposes of the decree of God, it is clear that those who believe because they were chosen before the foundation of the world. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Spirit of God came and regenerated them.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. How old does a child need to be in order to be accountable for his sin before God? For whose sins did Jesus Christ die? And why does Scripture say that Jesus had faith when he was on the earth, even though he knew everything already? Those are some of the questions John MacArthur is going to answer in just a few moments here on Grace to You. Today, on this Independence Day in the United States, we're breaking from our regular schedule for a practical Q&A session. Perhaps John will answer a question you've had. So now follow along as we jump into the questions.
Yes, could you please explain biblically for whom Christ died and whether all of them will be saved? In other words, just for whom Christ died and whether all of them that he died for will be saved?
The answer is, in terms of Scripture, that Christ died for the world. The Scripture talks about the world, but I think the way you have to define that is to define it as humanity, humankind. The question is, whose sins within humanity did he actually atone for, right? Whose sins did he actually pay the price for? Whose sins did he actually expiate? Whose punishment did he actually bear? And thus eliminate them from ever being judged? And the answer is only those who believe. So Christ actually paid the penalty, suffered the wrath of God, expiated sin, was a perfect and satisfactory atonement for the sins of all who would ever believe. Some people want to say that he actually paid the penalty for the sins of all who ever live. We have some problems with that. We have a number of passages in the New Testament that indicate he died for his own. He purchased his own. With his own blood, he purchased the church. And those kind of statements, I think, take the humanity or the world and narrow it down more specifically to who it is referring to. So in the end, if he died and paid the actual penalty for the sins of all people who ever lived, then hell would be double jeopardy. Then how could you send people to hell when their sins had been paid for? So you can't really have a complete expiation of the sins of everybody, or you're going to end up as a universalist. So in reality, Christ actually expiated the sins of those who believe. Now, in the end, of course, as you study the elective and unfolding purposes of the decree of God, it is clear that those who believe because they were chosen before the foundation of the world. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Spirit of God came and regenerated them by the sovereign purposes of God. Okay?
Okay, in Matthew 6, it talks about giving alms, or when you give alms, and in Matthew, and then it further on down it says when you are praying, or when you pray, and then it says when you fast. It looks as though that fasting should be just as regular as praying and giving alms. And I was wondering, how should we be applying fasting in today's day and age?
Well, I think fasting is a very important part of Christian experience. He's talking about verse 16 of Matthew 6. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do. A couple of things to say about fasting. First of all, fasting is never commanded. Prayer is. Pray without ceasing, praying always with all prayer and supplication.